A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs, the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today, our topic is the Quietdell murders that occurred back in 1932. And the perpetrator in these murders was a guy named Harry Powers, a serial killer who lived in West Virginia. We're going to get and talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do that, I want to introduce our panel. As always, I'm joined by the very talented and very lovely Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. How are you?
Fine. I'm fine.
That's excellent.
I'm also joined by the very talented, debonair, a man who is considered the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the very honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm disturbed, Timmy.
Why are you disturbed?
I'm disturbed. Well, what's fast approaching, Timmy?
Wednesday?
Christmas, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I guess you two heathens wouldn't know about
Chuck
that.
Chuck with the Christ anyway. And Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm disturbed by the way we have commercialized Christmas, Timmy.
Oh, because you had to buy gifts for your staff?
Is that right? Is
that what you're saying?
Is that what this is about?
My living room looks like an Amazon warehouse, Timmy.
Okay.
Yesterday, the mailman came. He had to bring shit up on the door with a dolly. I'm not lying to you, Timmy. He had about 9 boxes he was bringing up to the house. And I realized that that people are forgetting the true meaning of Christmas, Timmy.
Oh, good. You're going to tell us.
Well, Christmas is about eggnog and old granddad, Timmy.
Well, you got a point there, Colonel.
Christmas is about taking long naps when your wife's family comes over, so you don't have to
talk to them.
Yeah. And it's 60 degrees out here, Demi.
I know.
We're in Cincinnati.
I love that.
It's 60 degrees. It's supposed to be snowing in the wintertime. It's like the stars have lined up against the Colonel having a nice Christmas.
And on top of that, you had to buy gifts for your staff.
Well, I had to buy gifts for my staff.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm not saying that they do not warrant gifts.
Yeah, I just don't like paying for them.
I do not.
It's expensive. I understand, dude. Christmas is expensive.
Yes, the colonel's a generous man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a generous man, Timmy. But
you're a giver.
Yeah, but I don't like buying gifts for people.
I understand
it. You buy gifts for people you don't even know who they are.
This is your staff.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know what they
puts
like.
Puts up with your bullshit 364 days of the year.
Yeah, she's got a point.
Just throwing that out.
And the other thing yeah, is the whole. I mean, like on my birthday this year, Hanukkah started.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't Hanukkah start on a regular day every December 20th? Why can't it be every December 20th?
Well, I don't know. What are you concerned about the Jewish holiday for?
Because I like to be inclusive. I like to say Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Diwali. Yes. And Diwali is for our Indian friends. That started in November.
But you don't get a pick when they can celebrate the holiday.
Well, he's known for his inclusion.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it would be easier if
for you.
For me.
Yeah.
If my Jewish friends would, and my Kwanzaa friends, and my Diwali friends,
or Ramadan friends,
Ramadan,
you just like everyone just to kind of coordinate their holidays to revolve around you.
Yeah. So I know when they are.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, I got to download them onto my calendar, get a little ding on my phone, Happy Hanukkah. Yeah. And is it Hanukkah? Is it Chanukkah? And then you got to get 12 gifts for people. What the hell kind of thing is that, Timmy?
I don't know. We'll have to ask young Brittany, see if she can work on that.
So. She don't know any. I'm more Jewish than Brittany is.
Okay, Colonel, we have any shout-outs?
We got all kinds of shout-outs. Now, we did have a... And Timmy made an insensitive remark about pansexuals.
Yeah, it was not me. It was you.
I'm glad you're handling this with grace. Thank you.
And one of our listeners...
Let's go back. Our last show, we were talking about one of the serial killers who were thought to be pansexual.
Pansexual.
And we made some kind of stupid... I think it's more than just me. I think we all made stupid remarks.
I don't think I did.
I thought it meant that they liked Pan-American people. You thought it was that they just...
Brandy said they had sex with pans.
Sex maniacs, yeah.
I don't think I did say that.
I think you did.
I don't think so.
So we did not mean to offend anyone.
It's a complicated... It's confusing to me because I have a hard time between that and bisexual. You know what I mean? But basically, the listener explained to us that pansexual, where the person develops feelings, romantic feelings, regardless of sexual orientation.
Or of gender.
Or of gender. Yeah, gender or sexual orientation. Yeah. So...
Thank you for
clarifying that.
Yes.
We are wiser for it.
And the thing to remember, folks, as we do these podcasts, we're three idiots. You know, we're allowed to say anything. And, you know, please don't be offended because we don't know what the hell we're talking about most of the time. But thank you to our person who wrote in, Charlie. Thank you for clarifying that. And we appreciate that. And I guess I wasn't supposed to say his name, but what? It's okay. It's all right.
No, Charlie. I mean, from the email, Charlie seemed very, very comfortable in.
He's a very nice guy. Yeah, and he loves the show.
Stop talking.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, thank you, Charlie. Thank you. All right, who else are we gonna shout out for?
Of course, we got Jesse.
That's weird because I was on another Facebook page podcasting, talking about podcasting, and I mentioned that we had a podcast, and Jesse had asked what the name of the podcast was, so I said History Dweebs, and Jesse said, oh yeah, I listen to that all the time, so thank you, Jesse, for listening. You're happy to hear that.
Yeah, and we got, of course, Omar. Omar's always.
Yeah, Omar sent us a nice note.
Kim Taylor, she sent us a nice email.
Yeah, she had said she enjoyed the Hank Williams Jr. or the Hank Williams podcast.
That was you and Scott.
Scott, right.
Okay. Canute, of course. Brittany Nicole. Storm, you handsome animal. Marty Ray.
Mary Ray.
Huh?
Mary Ray.
Man, who taught you how to write?
M-A-R-Y.
Look at the R-G-E there. For God's sake.
You know Mary Ray. You've gave her a shot.
They need to start teaching cursive back in school because your printing's terrible. And, of course, we got the Lady Beverly.
Yeah.
We hope she's doing well. We got the lovely Dottie Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And we did get an address I got it on my computer.
Brittany Nicole. Yes.
Who will be soon receiving in the mail after the Christmas rush, because I don't want the post office to tear it up with all these packages. An 8x10 color glossy picture, autographed picture of the Colonel and his faithful companion, Rudy.
I don't believe you have one.
Oh, I do. We got headshots.
I can't believe somebody wants one.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like the 20th one I had to give out.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, let's talk about the... Brandy, do you have any shout-outs?
No.
Any Christmas greetings you want to...
No.
Okay.
Do people believe in Christmas?
I don't know who you're talking to.
Well, I don't know if you... Where you at this week? Are you one of the Mormons or are you one of the Satanists?
Okay, let's get in.
I mean, she's been both religions.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. This conversation can go nowhere but down. So let's talk about the Quiet Down murders, shall we?
Something more pleasant.
Yes. Harry F. Powers was also known...
You're a dick.
...as Herman... Me?
He is a dick.
No.
Oh.
I wish my name was Dick Powers.
Harry F. Powers.
Wouldn't it be cool if his middle name was Dick? Harry Dick Powers.
Harry F. Powers.
F. I wonder if it was
also known as...
A.K.A.
Herman Drenth.
What?
Drenth.
That's a stupid name.
Cornelius Pearson. And A.R. Weaver. He had a lot of aliases.
He did.
He was a con man.
Mm-hmm.
A swindler.
Candy dancer.
A thief. And?
Sodomite.
And a convicted serial killer.
Yeah, I bet he was slutty, too.
No, not really. He was hanged in Moundsville, West Virginia in 1932. Okay?
Okay.
He murdered at least five people.
At least.
At least. Including two women and three children. But he's suspected in many, many more killings. So... Our topic today is Harry F. Powers, also known as the Bluebeard of Quietdale. He didn't have a very cool serial killer name. I'd get something stuck.
I mean, just sort of listen. Like, I was listening to have heard this name 10 times, but just, it's Quietdale.
Yeah, Quietdale.
Like the computer, not Quietdale. Quietdale.
Are you doing this part?
Huh?
Are you doing this part?
Neither are you.
Are you fucking this chicken?
Okay. I'm just saying he got a little bit of an accent there.
Using many of his aliases that we just enumerated.
Wow.
Harry Powers would lure countless women to an underground chamber located beneath his garage in Quietdale.
No, he's still screwed
up. West Virginia.
Dell.
Shut up.
Dell.
Shut up.
For fuck's sake, Dell.
The farmer in the...
I'm in the Dell.
Powers would scour Lonely Heart Club ads in out-of-town newspapers...
Are you screaming?
...and write to women tantalizing letters.
I love tantalizing letters.
I got to get a tantalizing.
Q is a tantalizing letter.
Q is a tantalizing.
If the ladies were willing to come to visit Powers, he would swindle away their cash and dispose of them.
Yeah.
All you got to do what you got to do. Hey, a question for you.
Yeah.
This came up. I got to go to a New Year's Day party with my family, and my daughter. You know, you have in Facebook, you can create a private event.
Yeah.
Because you said Q is a tantalizing letter, right?
Sexy.
Made me think of this.
I don't know why, because that's weird.
So anyway, my daughter says, my niece says, okay, everybody tell me what you're bringing. And my daughter says, I'm bringing a dip. Would you like sweet or savory?
Ah.
Why can't you have both? Isn't there something sweet and savory?
You have to pick.
You have to choose.
Can't be greedy.
You don't get everything.
Can't be greedy with the flavor.
I've heard sweet and savory stuff before.
You can't be greedy with the flavor.
Yeah.
Okay, just... So it can only be one or the other?
Yes, for your purposes, yes.
Okay. Now, can I go back to the story?
You guys were not helpful at all in that.
Harry F. Powers.
Well, not to be confused with...
Dick Powers.
Yeah.
Hank Powers. Or
Harry Q. Powers. Yeah.
Harry F. Powers was born Herman Drenth
in
1892 in the Netherlands. He and his family immigrated to the United States in 1910.
It's a long time ago.
They lived, 105 years ago. They lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and then later migrated to West Virginia in 1926.
So we're worried about all these. See... Maybe they're on to something, because these immigrants came over here and they killed people.
Yeah, we had that guy in the chicken coop murders. He immigrated from Canada, remember?
Oh, we got to start
Canadian
watching.
Canadian immigrants.
We got to watch these immigrants closer, Timmy.
The Canadian ones.
Herman did not want to be an immigrant. His father was a farmer, but Herman, or Harry F. Powers, did not want to be a farmer like his father. He had higher aspirations. He wanted a higher standard of living and planned to use the resources and opportunities available in America that were unavailable in his home country to gain money. I don't know. I mean, his home country is the Netherlands. They can sell sex. They can sell heroin.
Right. It's pretty nice over there.
Yeah. And I believe being a farmer is about the noblest profession you could have.
You could being a hooker.
Huh? Being a hooker.
Well, a hooker's noble, yeah, but...
Although he was far from handsome...
Well, he was.
He was described as a pig-faced little man.
That is accurate.
So, pig-face... had a winning way with words.
It's going to be like Bitsy. He's going to be pig face from now on.
And striking eyes. He did have striking eyes if you look at his picture.
Pig face.
That stuck out piercingly, even from behind his thick lens glasses.
Pissy.
He had those ant killers.
I didn't tell you that guy. I told you that guy was Casey's professor, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Our listeners have no idea what the hell you're talking
so
about.
So, on the Alton Coleman podcast, there was a gentleman that we talked about that had been put in the trunk of his car and driven from Lexington up to Cincinnati.
Right.
And my brother, who went to Cumberland College, had him as a poli-sci professor.
Had the guy that was kidnapped?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, he knew him. They would talk about it all the time.
We should have had him on the podcast.
Well, he couldn't make it, but... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I did not mean to disturb your
phone. No, that's fine. Back to Harry F. I'm going to call him Harry Potter before as I would. Back to Pig Face.
There it is.
Police would have a hard time piecing together the past life of Harry Drenth because he changed aliases and addresses often. He left his family in Cedar Rapids to serve 20 months overseas during World War I. By the end of the war, he moved to Oklahoma, where he claimed to be an oil stock promoter named Harry Powers, a.k.a. R.A.R. Weaver, a.k.a. Cornelius Pearson, a.k.a. Pigface.
What kind of stock?
I'm not going back there. We're going moving forward.
Moving forward.
I believe our listeners missed it.
Long before there was Craigslist, Backpage, or dot-com dating, there were places where men and women who were too shy or too busy to meet face-to-face could find romance. They were called matrimonial bureaus. These organizations were known mostly as Lonely Hearts Clubs. And they flourished through the middle of the 20th century. One such club was called the Detroit Americans Friendship Society, which opened in 1927. By 1931, he had earned more than $100,000, which is a lot of money back, during the Depression.
More money now.
Yeah. Business continued to strive even at the height of the Depression. For an annual fee of $4.95 for men and $1.95 for women.
It's ladies.
Members got a listing available of matches, mostly widows and widowers, with a description of their most attractive features.
Widowers.
Okay, guys, we got to get through this. Among American Friendship's clients was Harry F. Powers, or Big Face.
Big Face.
In 1926, Powers responded to a posting in the Lonely Hearts Club magazine from a young lady named Lula Struthers. Miss Struther...
Lula sounds delightful.
Mm-hmm. Owned a small grocery store in Clarksburg and a farm in the nearby Quietdale. Although she was financially comfortable, Lula was seeking companionship and romance. Aren't we all, really?
No, I just want to be alone. That's all I want to be is by myself.
She found romance in the form of 34-year-old Harry F. Powers.
Big face.
Pig face. Apparently, she looked beyond his...
Pig face.
Yeah,
features. Pig facedness.
The seeds of love were planted during a passionate correspondence blossomed into marriage in 1927.
Did he plant the seeds of love in her loins?
I'm sure he did.
Loins.
Following their marriage, the newlyweds settled down together to run the Quincy Street Grocery. Now, Harry had many faults. But stupidity was not one of them. Mm. He soon recognized the fact.
Face was though.
He soon recognized the fact that matrimony had proven to be the most financially rewarding aspect of his life.
I'm with you there, brother.
Yeah, you should be.
Although he asserted his undying love for Luella until his death.
What the hell is her name?
Luella, I don't know.
It changes every time you say it.
L-U-E-L-L.
She got more aliases than he does.
There was no denying that marriage did little to dampen his quest for long-distance love affairs. So he continued his pouring around on these websites.
So let me just get this straight.
These Lonely Heart Clubs, after he was married.
So he had a woman here and a woman across the country, across the world.
He continued.
Does that ring a bell with you, devil? Sound familiar.
It does sound a little familiar. Do we know somebody like that?
I believe we do.
All right, let's move on.
I guess you would want to move
on. He continued to correspond with women in the American Friendship Society.
He was a slut.
Despite the fact of being married to his wife, Luella, for 5 years. His ad read, and I quote, "Wealthy widower, worthy, worth $150,000 with income from $400 to $3,000 per month." Now, that's a pretty wide range.
Yeah. Right. Well, it could be.
I work on commission.
Civil engineer and a very fine-looking man of 38. He writes, my business enterprises prevent me from making many social friends.
There you go, yeah.
Which is what I put on Match.com.
And my pink face doesn't help.
No.
I am therefore unable to make the acquaintance of the right kind of women. As for my properties are located throughout the Middle West. I believe I will settle there when married. I am an elk and a mason. What else did he say? He owns a beautiful 10-room house, completely furnished, and my wife would have her own car and plenty of spending money. But she must be strictly a one-man woman. Mm-hmm. I will not tolerate infidelity.
As he should not.
Yes.
I'm living alone in West Virginia, and the lie detector says
you are your daddy.
That is a lie. So contact Cornelius Pearson, P.O. Box 277, Clarksburg, Virginia. You know, Colonel, I was thinking about this when I read this, and I thought it's been a while since I've kind of tweaked my personal ads.
Yeah.
You know, Match or whatever.
Craigslist.
Christian Mingle.
Backpage, whatever. So here's my ad. Let me know what you think of it. Middle-aged, overweight, balding, financially insecure, unemployed white male.
Tim doesn't need. He doesn't need one.
Seeks Jennifer Lawrence lookalike for hot times. Must live on the bus line.
See, and you know what? Here's the thing, Timmy. Yeah. You put that damn ad in there and put a picture of yourself in there, and I'll be damned if like 10 people won't reply to look just like Jennifer. Now that'd be batshit crazy and have some kind of dysfunction, but they'll look just like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah,
more ass in a McDonald's toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
No reason.
So, anyway, that's my new Craigslist ad. Okay, so despite being happily married to Luella, Harry Pigface decided to supplement his income by ripping off lonely women. Unfortunately, the world was full of lonely women back in 1930, as it is today. Postal records indicate that replies to Powers' advertisement poured in at a rate of 10 to 20 letters per day. No one will ever know exactly how he selected his victims from this long list of lonely hearts. So Brandy is going to tell us about his dastardly deeds.
I wonder if they put pictures on the lonely hearts.
Yeah, I think so. I think they did, probably. They probably printed them.
What level are you on there, devil?
See,
you're putting your phone down there, and you got the Candy Crush up. What level you do?
First of all, you don't know what you're talking about. Second of all, don't worry about it.
Timmy, do you see the Candy Crush?
This isn't Candy Crush.
Okay. It is Candy Crush.
No, it's not. I haven't played Candy Crush in years.
What game is it?
None yet.
Yeah.
So, reading Thomas's ad, cooler heads might have figured this was too good to be true, but not Asta Eicher.
Asta. Well, you don't see that name much anymore. Well,
No.
She was a Chicago widow.
Shake that Asta.
Asta La Vista, baby.
Wow. She was a Chicago widow with three children. She had Greta, 14, Harry, 12, and Annabelle, 9.
I wonder if she was pansexual.
Eicher's husband, a silversmith, had died 8 years earlier, and since his death, she dedicated herself to raising her family.
So what does a silversmith really do?
They smith silver.
Do they, like, make forks?
Yes. And swords.
And swords.
So, Powers, under the alias of Cornelius Pearson, entered into a long correspondence with the widow Eicher. During that time, Powers also began the construction of a garage located on the farm property at Quietdale, West Virginia. So, he's doing all this while his wife is still wifing.
Yeah, Luella.
Luella's doing her thing.
Yeah, she's none the wiser.
In the meantime, in Chicago, for the first time in years, Asta Eicher had told her friends that romance had again entered her life.
But she got a man.
But yes, she did. Girl.
Asta about to get her some.
Good. Asta's getting a little uptight.
Somebody gonna bust.
After 8 years, Asta's getting a little uptight.
Somebody gonna bust that Asta.
But other than her new love's name of Mr. Pearson, she didn't offer many details. The same month...
What's he gonna say, pig face?
You look like a damn pig.
Wow. Let's see. That same month, she asked William O'Boyle, a boarder, to find another place to live. So she's kicking out boarders. Her excuse was she gave
She should have been banging Mr. O'Boyle.
She gave was that the pudgy pig-faced little Pearson, who'd pudgy been hanging pants. Around the house for weeks, was moving in.
You gotta move on.
How far apart?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he's living here. He's living there.
He's in Chicago. He's supposed to be in West Virginia. His wife's in West Virginia. So, I mean, his real wife. So, Pigface is moving in. Mr. O'Boyle is hitting the bricks.
Mm-hmm. So, on June 23rd, 1931, a man known as Cornelius O. Pearson arrived at the Eicher home in Park Ridge for a short visit with Asta and her children. After 2 days, Eicher and Pearson departed on a trip together, leaving the three children in the custody of the family nurse, Elizabeth Abernathy.
Who has a family nurse?
Evidently this bitch does. I don't know. She had some money. Silversmiths make some scratch. Yeah.
Make their own nickels.
They really can't. So 5 days later, Mrs. Abernathy received a letter from Mrs. Eicher telling her Mr. Pearson would come for the children shortly. Harry arrived back at the Eicher home on July 1st, and he spent the night there. The next day, he sent one of the children to the bank with a note and a check, supposedly.
Yeah, I love this.
Supposedly signed by Miss Eicher. The note instructed the bank clerk to fill the amount of the bank balance in on the check and give it to the child.
I
do not know how much money is in there, but could you
just give me all of it?
Give me all of it.
Give the kid all of it.
Basically, the kid robbed a bank is what he did.
Right. But the bank didn't refuse to do it because the signature did not appear to be that of Asta. So when the child returned without the money, the man quickly packed, put the three children in his car, and drove off to the amazement of Mrs. Abernathy.
So Pigface is on the road.
Yeah, he's gone.
With the kids.
With her kids?
With her kids. We don't even know what happened to Miss Astor right now.
Not now. So, but the widow and her children were never seen alive again. 3 weeks later, Cornelius Pearson arrived at the home of Mr. and Mrs. Charles Fleming of Northborough, Massachusetts.
Okay, so he went from Chicago, now he's all the way in Boston, or Massachusetts.
Yes.
Okay. What's Mrs. Pigface think he's doing? A full of brush salesman or something?
Business. Don't ask me about my business.
Well, that's true.
That's all it was. All right. So he was there to meet the object of another long and passionate correspondence, Miss Fleming's sister, Dorothy Pressler Lemke.
Miss Lemke.
The next morning, Cornelius and Dorothy stopped by two banks where she withdrew $4,000 before departing for Iowa, where they were to be married. Along the way, they stopped at the railway station where Powers shipped Dorothy's trunks.
Yeah, it seems reasonable. They're shipping the trunks ahead of them in advance of their arrival.
At the time, no one noticed that the trunks were not shipped to Iowa, but instead were shipped to Cornelius Pearson in Fairmont, West Virginia.
Oh.
The man known locally as Harry Powers claimed the trunks several days later.
Never made it to Iowa.
Yeah, interesting.
Meanwhile,
yeah,
back in Chicago, William O'Boyle, the former tenant of Astor Eicher, went back to the Eicher's house to pick up some tools he'd left behind. Eicher and her children were gone, but the man O'Boyle knew as Pearson was there, and he was emptying the house.
He's a tenacious son of a bitch.
He's all over the place, yeah, too.
He is a traveler.
Yeah.
O'Boyle contacted the police out of concern for Miss Eicher and her three children. The case of the Quietdale murders began to unravel on August 26, 1931, when officials in Park Ridge, Illinois, contacted Clarksburg Police Chief Clarence Duckworth.
Chief Duckworth?
Seriously, Clarence Duckworth?
Chief Duckworth.
How are you going to come up with a less masculine Clarence Duckworth?
Well,
Clarence. And requested that he take local resident Cornelius Pearson into custody for questioning in the disappearance of Asta Eicher and her three kids. The only problem with the request was that there was no one under that name living in Clarksburg.
Oh.
See?
That's why the alias comes in handy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you went by your real name, they would remember
they'd find you right away.
You, yeah.
Right. The police chief turned the name and description over to City Detective Carl Southern.
But they say just look for a...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Pig face.
Yeah. And asked him to track the man down. My God.
I'm looking for
Pig face and pissy.
Yeah, pig face. Cornelius, the guy goes by Cornelius, it's pig face.
You know, a lot of those guys back then had pig faces, though.
Yeah, they were not attractive.
Because they had that slick back
hair.
Yeah,
I mean, even the women weren't very attractive back then.
Oh, the women was ugly.
Yeah,
it was ugly.
Ugly sin.
Ugliest sin. Yeah, and you know what? Here's what I don't get about these long-distance romances back then, okay? Now, you're texting a girl, right?
Right.
And you're sending them the
nudies.
The
dick pics?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
No. You're talking to them, okay, and you get a little flirtatious with them.
You have to wait 9 days to get another letter.
To get a response to see if she's going to bite on it.
Yeah.
And then you get just one letter
hope
that says...
she doesn't bite on it.
Do you get one letter that just says LOL?
Oh, so...
And then you got to respond to that?
So your concern is how do you have, like, cyber sex?
How do you sext?
Yeah, and it takes you, like, 6 months to get an erection.
You'd have to stay aroused the whole time while waiting
for that. And then she'd have to draw you pictures of a boob. She couldn't Snapchat something.
Right.
Yeah.
We got made today, really.
We really do.
These poor bastards now.
It's a great time to be alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you wouldn't get by with a pig face today.
No, you wouldn't.
Unless you're loaded, man.
Well, you'd have
everybody thought he was.
Yeah.
You'd have to use your profile picture from when you was in high school.
Yeah.
He was probably a pig face then, but...
Yeah. He probably didn't improve much.
Donald Trump looks like an Oompa Loompa, and look where he's at.
Yeah.
So. Well, money.
Money. All right. On a hunch... Detective Southern made a trip to the post office on the corner of 3rd and Pike Streets. You know that corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do know that corner. And this detective is a pretty bright guy.
There, he learned that Cornelius O. Pearson had rented a box and given his home address as 111 Quincy Street. He soon determined that the resident of that address, Harry Powers, closely matched the Illinois description of Cornelius Pearson.
He was big face.
Powers was arrested that morning on the basis of the Illinois warrant, and he squealed when he came to the door. Let's see. The arrest was reported in the Clarksburg Telegram newspaper and read with interest by Louise Watson of Nutter Fort. Miss Watson telephoned the Harrison County Sheriff.
She probably got one of those crank phones.
Oh, you already know. Yeah. Dolores, get me Wilford on the phone. Wilford B. Grimm. She called him, the sheriff, to tell him about the Powers garage that adjoined the property of her mother, Nellie Bond, at Quiet Dell. Sheriff Grimm obtained a search warrant for the premises on August 28th. Deputy Bond, State Police Corporal Dorsey Bailey, Police Chief Duckworth, and City Detective Carl Southern proceeded to the garage.
They had all the big boys in on that.
You
one.
Think they had Deputy Platypus in there, too? Clarence Duck.
Do you watch Phineas and Ferb?
No.
His name's Perry the Platypus.
Perry the Platypus.
Yes.
Continue.
Let's see. Crap. Okay. Let's see. All right. At Quiet Dell, they were joined by John Bond, a former Elk District constable.
And grandfather of John Bon Jovi.
Sure. Bond.
Oh, John. What?
He's grandfather of Gary U.S.
He
Bond.
Said Bond.
Or Barry Bond.
James Bond.
Bond.
John Bond.
Barry Bonds.
He was on the steroids.
Oh, my God. Bond brought a mattock. A mattock? That they used to...
He got a mattock.
A mattock. Okay, so he brought
a mattock. Don't you
brought a crowbar. Can't you just say a friggin' crowbar?
A mattock's a little different than a crowbar, and then it has a...
I don't care.
This is important for our listeners to know.
A
mattock is a crowbar.
What's his name?
Cliff Clavin.
Yes.
A mattock is much Dick like. Weeb. Listen, as a mattock.
He's Weeble.
Is
he called you a Weeble? Pete, you got him to shut up so I can keep going.
Is if you were to combine a crowbar, a hammer, and a pickaxe into one tool, that would be a mattock.
Okay. Thank you, Carl.
Why don't you learn about tools?
I sit next to two every day.
I know working your way through college, you knew your way around some tools, but go ahead.
I sit next to two every day.
Continue, Brandon.
So, they found that four rooms of tile and concrete had been constructed in the basement of the garage. Because I'm sorry, garages don't need basement, so that's automatically suspect.
Yeah.
In one of those rooms, they found a bloody footprint and other signs of violence, including bloody clothes and strands of human hair. A partly burned bank book was retrieved from some ashes near the building. The hopes of authorities for the Eicher family began to fade. Officials called the Clarksburg Fire Department to assist by pumping out a nearby old well that had been filled with rocks and water. However, the well provided no clues to the location of the missing widow and her children.
Then why is it even in this story?
I don't know. I was just wondering the same thing.
It's a red herring well.
Yeah. And there were trees on the property.
Yeah, there were trees. Chickens?
Yeah.
Chickens?
And pigs, clearly.
Yeah.
So handcuffed and heavily guarded, Powers was brought to the farm and showed the bloody footprint of the young boy that had
Explain
been uncovered.
Explain that there, pig face.
Well, how do they know it's a footprint of a young boy?
Although officials
demanded that he reveal the location of the bodies, he maintained his silence.
Look, I'm going to tell you one more time, pig face.
They demanded it. I don't know how you tell them if they demanded it.
But they
it's
didn't
not like they
use
asked.
The colonel interrogation technique. It goes with the colonel justice.
Yeah, if you see his face, they did. Right, Randy?
They did beat the crap out of him.
They beat the shit out, yeah.
They were very persuasive.
You'll see the picture when I post it. He's got black eyes.
Does he?
Yeah, they worked him over.
Yeah, fuck him. So the news rapidly spread across the area. And by 1 o'clock that afternoon, over 300 people had gathered at the farm to watch the search. Because they're gawkers.
I would set up a little lemonade stand.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Among those bystanders was a 15-year-old boy who Sheriff Grimm had recently helped Powers... Okay, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Who told Sheriff Grimm that he'd recently helped Powers dig a ditch from the garage to the creek.
There's always this 15-year-old kid's going to turn on you.
You know why? Because they're idiots.
And he probably had a dog. And if it weren't for that meddling teenager and his
damn dog, I know.
He'd have got away with it.
Never get a 15-year-old to help you bury a body.
No.
Grimm quickly summoned trustees with shovels, who began uncovering the ditch. Within moments, the crowd retreated with a terrible odor emanating from the trench. Although the decomposing body of Asta Eicher was found at the lower end of the ditch, it was only the beginning of the horrors awaiting searchers. The bodies of the three children were found later that afternoon. It appeared that the two girls had been strangled like their mother, but poor 12-year-old Harry had died from being struck in the head repeatedly with a hammer that was found with the bodies.
If you have a hammer.
Hammer in the
morning. And he had a mattock. Why'd he got to beat him with a hammer?
I don't know.
Apparently, he started acting out.
Pigface didn't have a hammer, a mattock. That was the sheriff that had a mattock.
Oh, no, but what I read is when Pigface was strangling his sisters, I guess the
Harry didn't like that.
The little kid, 15-year-old, took exception to that, and he started acting out, so he took a hammer and pounded him in the head with it.
Yeah. Nice.
Distracted him for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
And the girl still didn't get away.
Nah. She waited to see what happened.
It's like those girls it's like the women in the movie. The man getting his ass whipped, everything else.
That's when you run.
And they're wrestling. They're 20 feet from the gun. They're wrestling with each
other.
These
are kids. She's
sitting there like,
12.
Good guy, get the gun.
These are kids. That kid was 12. Shut up.
I'm just saying it could have helped.
I'm saying. The interrogation by officials.
He was a little pig face.
A pig face. The interrogation by officials of Park Ridge Police, the Harrison County Sheriff's Department, and the B&O Police continued until 4 a.m. the next morning. The persuasion. Although he stringently maintained his innocence for several hours, Powers finally gave in to the vigorous questioning and signed a statement.
Did you do it? Did you do it?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't take it no more.
I can't do it. Confessing to the murder of Asta Eicher and her children. Photographs taken of Powers the days immediately following his arrest revealed two black eyes and extensive bruising as a result of him having fallen downstairs.
Yeah. You know, falling down the stairs on the way from the courthouse.
Yeah. They didn't. It was a one-story for courthouse.
The farm turned into Gitmo.
He kept falling down the same stair.
Let's see. Just when authorities believed they would get some well-deserved rest, the case took an unexpected twist. Yet another body was located in the quiet Dell sewer grave. This time, the victim was a dark-haired, heavy-set woman who appeared to have been buried about 3 weeks. She'd been strangled to death with a belt and was found, and a belt that was found still twisted around her neck. In the ashes of a bonfire behind the garage building, officials found a charred book bearing the name of Dorothy Pressler Lemke.
The one from Massachusetts.
Right. The book had been issued by Merchant Savings Bank of Worcester, Massachusetts. Worcester authorities confirmed that Miss Lemke was missing.
Well, she's not now.
Done now. We found her.
The Flemings traveled to Clarksburg and identified the decomposing body of Miss Lemke on the basis of clothing and dental work. The number of dead at Quiet Dell Garage now numbered 5. 2 lonely women and 3 fatherless children. Really, fatherless children? Jesus Christ.
Motherless children, too.
Who writes this shit?
Me!
So the mamas was whores.
No! Wow. Those kids had a father. He died! In a trunk.
Did they have one that they could introduce you to?
I'm gonna stop you right there.
Yeah. Please do.
I'm going to stop you right there. It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
One person I won't be visiting this year is my mama.
Because she's dead.
She died of cancer.
She's
still dead.
So
like
I am.
Like 80 years ago, she died.
I am motherless.
Yeah.
And as those children will
You're
be.
You're an orphan.
I'm an orphan, actually. Yeah.
And a rat bastard. So let's move on. So in the trunk.
Kind of overweight as well. I mean, you know, if we're open of him up to critiques,
he eats to hide his pain.
Yeah.
Listeners.
Stuff down the pain. In a trunk, authorities also found hundreds of letters to Cornelius Pearson from lonely women all over the country.
He was a stud. I'm telling you, Pigface was a stud.
Each of the women had
one of those old curly.
He'd make him squeal.
Come on, girl. Come on. Give it to
me. Each of the women had poured their hearts out to
call me daddy.
Call me Porky.
Yeah, I want you to just think back on that conversation we were having on the messenger last night.
I can't remember that.
Well, you go ahead and stew on that for a minute. Each of the women had poured their hearts out to Connie, who professed his love for them as well. On the basis of the letters, authorities contacted Miss Edith D. Simpson of Detroit, who expected Pearson to marry her in September. She had already purchased her wedding dress and was making arrangements to leave with him. When shown a letter that Powers had written to Asta Eicher, Miss Simpson was amazed to see it was almost the exact copy of the one he'd sent to her. Nevertheless, she told officers, he wrote so beautifully in his letters. His mind was so big and fine, I can't believe he would hurt an insect.
So he just write the same letter to all the women. He just like photocopy.
Take it down to Kinko's and copy it out and send it.
He was copy-pasting and just shooting it on out.
So in addition to being a pig-faced serial killer, he plagiarized.
He did plagiarize
himself.
Can you plagiarize from yourself?
Yeah. You can. Yeah.
If you're copyrighted.
Now, this was a fascinating thing for the public. They called him the Bluebeard or Quiet Dell.
Why did they call him Bluebeard, Colonel?
Well, because he killed people.
Well, Bluebeard, the legend of Bluebeard is that
he killed wives.
He killed his wife, right?
Yeah. So hundreds of people were traveling to this murder site. Here, let me do it like Timmy does. Hundreds of people were traveling to this murder site every day.
Were you saying hundreds of people?
Hundreds.
Okay, move on.
And on September 12th,
I'm trying to add a little drama to
promoters. They constructed a 6-foot fence.
How high?
In front of the garage, 6-foot high fence in front of the garage, and a drainage ditch, and declared an admission charge.
How much?
It was 50 cents.
You don't know that.
I don't know.
You're making that up.
That night, though.
But they did charge admission.
They did charge. They charge admission for one night. They had one good day come out of this. Because that night, over 200 spectators soaked the enclosure with gasoline and set fire to it.
Good. Because they did not think it was appropriate to charge people to see the murder scene.
Yeah, they wanted to see the dead bodies for free, and they couldn't. So anyway, a second fence got torn down. Now, the citizens of Harrisburg, they were a scary bunch of people here.
Yeah.
Now, you got to remember, this is West Virginia down there. These people, they have feuds over the slightest thing.
Right.
I mean, one time somebody served white wine with the wrong red wine with fish. One time, that was what started the Hatfield
McCoy
film.
Everybody knows you don't do that.
They served white wine with tomato soup too.
Oh, Jesus!
It's a faux pas.
That's what started the Hatfield McCoy
feud. What is wrong with you,
heathens? Yeah. So the citizens of Harrison County, they're enraged at the murders committed.
Well, they should be.
Pig faced. And on September 20th, an angry mob of nearly 500 surrounded the county jail and demanded that Powers be turned over to them, where they could commit sodomy on him, strip his flesh, hang him from the nearest tree, catch him on fire.
That's probably true.
Yeah, all the rest of that's probably good.
Yeah,
no sodomy.
Actually, their demands would just be really to turn him over, but the subset of plans was to commit sodomy.
Who's saying?
Get him with the cat of nine tails.
Mm-hmm.
The Colonel Justice is really what they
CBT.
Were going to do. Yeah, CBT. They was going to take the red hot poker, shove it up his ass. Mm-hmm. So anyway, now the Clarksville
Sounds
Fire
like
Department,
Saturday night.
They were called to the scene to dispel this mob, but the angry crowd got to them first, and they tore the links of fire hose from the fire trucks. So they couldn't, because they was going to spray them down with water. Like you do two dogs in heat.
Well, they're going to spray the crowd to disperse them, right?
Yeah, disperse them. And a couple members of the crowd tried unsuccessfully to upset one of the fire trucks, which is not an easy thing to do.
I've tried that before.
But so this siege goes on for a couple hours.
It took me hours, and the thing didn't even rock.
It didn't even rock?
No. Fire trucks are a bitch.
Was you on a merry-go-round when this happened, or was it a real fire truck?
No, it was a real fire truck.
It's
kind of stupid as a kid.
Now, this siege lasted for more than 2 hours and included the use of tear gas bombs, bricks, and other missile-like projectiles.
Ain't that fucking tear grass.
Missile-like projectiles. Before police got it under control. Now, there was 8 men arrested and placed in the county jail. Now, officials got a little bit concerned that they could not hold up against such pressure indefinitely and began to make an arrangement to transfer Pigface to the federal penitentiary at Moundville for safekeeping. Now, 3 a.m. this morning, 13 officers and 3 automobiles snuck out the back door to make the journey. As the 3 automobiles went up Washington Avenue, Powers wept and inquired about the safety of his wife and sister-in-law.
As well he should. He's concerned about his wife.
Well, he feared that the mob would turn its anger upon them.
Yeah, he loved his wife, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously.
Now, they got to get out of here, so they fire volley after volley at tear gas bombs into the crowd surrounding the jail that night, because the crowd don't know he's gone.
Right.
You know, so they just, boom, boom, firing tear gas. And despite the fact that these tear gas things were already releasing, these people were picking up the tear gas bombs and firing them back at the officers.
No, that's what you do in a riot.
No, it was burning eyes of pedestrians more than a block away.
Man.
So the state police, the deputy sheriffs, the city police, they all patrolled the lawn of the sheriff's residence and jail carrying submachine, because they was mad at the sheriff by this time, carrying submachine guns.
So it was near riot conditions at this point.
It was. It was like the Hunger Games at this point. And now the crowd did not disperse until it was announced that Powers was secure inside the walls of Moundsville. Now, during all of 1931, Harrison County was without a courthouse because they tore it down.
There you go.
Now, so they built a new Hall of Justice. It was under construction. I like that name, Hall of Justice.
Yeah.
That's where Superman hangs out.
But the temporary courthouse was not nearly large enough for the trial, so they rented Moore's Opera House on 4th Street.
Now, how was that big enough for it?
It had a seating capacity of over 500 people.
Are you boring yourself?
No. Now, the trial began on the colonel's birthday, December 7th, 1931. Okay. Not the year I was born in, but...
Exactly 10 years before Pearl Harbor, though.
Right, yeah. Bad things was going to happen on that day. And was viewed by more people in Harrison County than any other trial in its history. And number two really was just the...
was the O.J. trial?
Was the Ernest T. Bass trial.
Who wouldn't?
For breaking rocks and shit.
Who wouldn't go see the Pig Face trial?
Yeah, the Pig Face
trial. That's the trial of the
century. So, 100 days after his arrest, he's indicted for the murders of Miss Asta, Ica,
mm-hmm.
her 3 kids, Greta, Harry, and Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the prosecutor here, Willie Morris, and his associate...
He later started a modeling agency.
He did. He did. William Stratton. They elected to try the case on the Lemke murder because there was more direct link to Powers. They were seeking the death penalty and figured they could get it in this case.
Well, I wonder why they think there was... Well, I guess because of DNA. They didn't have the matching DNA or something to show that the body...
I believe they had a confession, so did they beat the hell out of them?
Well, true. They had a confession, but they also had... Didn't they have that bank book, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, the state's... It was fairly clear-cut for the state. He constructed the garage at Quiet Dale for Powers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cal Southern, city detective, testified that Miss Lemke's body had been found in a sewer ditch at the garage. He also stated that he had seized letters addressed to Cornelius O. Pearson from the possession of Powers.
If you're going to have an alias, why would you name yourself Cornelius?
Yeah, because you get the spelling wrong. Plus, he spelled Pearson all weird on there.
Plus, that was the name of that, wasn't that the name of that guy, the gold digger on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Wasn't he Cornelius?
Yes. It was not Pearson, though.
No.
But they had all kinds of evidence against him. Blood stains, clothing.
Sweat, tears.
Blood, sweat, tears. They had and the colonel yawned in here because... Mrs. Colonel kept me up late last night. I apologize.
Did you have to pleasure her last night?
Doing Christmas things?
It was Monday night.
Uh-huh.
It was Monday night.
Monday night.
Last night was festive. It was the winter solstice.
Right.
And the missus gets a little, you know.
Little green.
Really?
Little,
what does that have to do with
Randy,
anything?
Randy. Around the winter solstice. And she go out in the backyard and she dance naked for a little bit. And then she come back in. She need the colonel to warm her up.
Nothing
so anyway.
Nothing has anything to do with
she kept
anything.
Me up for a long,
so you
long
pleasured
time.
Her, is the way you're telling us.
I did. God. A number of times.
Gross. Come on.
So anyway, they had all this evidence. It was really a slam dunk.
And on December 12, 1931, Judge John Southern stated, "It is the judgment of the court that you be taken to the state penitentiary in Moundsville. There to be kept and treated in the manner provided by law and hanged by the neck until dead on March 18th, 1932, between the hours of sunrise and sunset," which is not really true hours. That's just a
I would say, you know, take your time. Get me at the end of the day.
Yeah, Powers accepted his sentence without any noticeable reaction, but on the date of his execution, Powers dressed immaculately in a dark pinstripe suit.
Oh, nice.
A white shirt, black tie, pig face.
Did he have a handkerchief in his...
He did. He had a little thing there.
Yeah, an ascot.
Walked calmly up the stairs to his death. He declined to make an offer. He declined the offer of a final statement and did not react as a guard slipped the black cap of death over his head.
Oh.
On March 18th, at precisely 9 a.m., they didn't wait long. It was sunrise, sunset. It was like right after sunrise. You getting it, son.
What the hell?
Three attendants stationed by three buttons pushed them simultaneously. And what happened to me?
He was hanged.
Yeah, and... it's like a firing squad. Yeah. None of them really knew which one sprang the trap there.
Which I think is bullshit, because if I'm the one that's going to pull the lever, or I'm the one that's going to fire the shot, I should know I'm the one that killed him instead of this guesswork.
If I'm going to be the hangman, I want to be the hangman.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the potential possible, you know.
Right.
I want to be the hangman.
You want to be the man.
I want to look his wife and kids in the eye and say, "I hung your daddy."
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
So, but they had a system set up similar, like you were speaking, with firing squad.
Yeah. Where
one guy has a bullet, everyone else has live rounds, the other
one. Well, I believe one guy has a blank and the other one has a live round. Maybe that.
But in this case, one guy actually hit the
hit level. The real button, yeah.
Right, right.
I'm sure you can feel it with your hand.
I'm sure.
I'm sure you know. In 11 minutes, Powers was officially pronounced dead. He has soiled himself, one of his shoes fell off. And
he wasn't so immaculately dressed at that point.
He wasn't so immaculately dressed. And you know what they forgot to do? And they often did this.
Like a pig in shit.
They learned to do this with the electric chair, Timmy. Mm-hmm. One of your final last indignities. Is that a word?
Yeah,
indignities.
It's close enough.
Is when you's about to get the electric chair,
mm-hmm.
What they do is they pack your anal cavity with cotton gauze, Timmy. Because when you get all that jolt of electricity through you, you soil yourself.
Yeah.
And those guys don't feel like cleaning with that mess.
I see.
So they would pack your anus with gauze and
for no reason.
No, so you didn't.
But I mean, not for pleasure.
Oh, not for pleasure. No.
No.
And but sometimes now here's the ugly part of that: the electric current will cause the gauze to catch on fire.
Yes. Fuck them.
So, the guards? You want the guards to die? Why?
No, the gauze catches on fire.
Oh, the gauze. I think you said
the guards. The gauze in your ass.
It would have been much more interesting if the guards caught on
fire. I don't know. Somebody with a flaming butthole is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Cause your eyes to pop out.
Yeah.
Whatever. But
he was hanged. Right.
He was hanged, but he still soiled himself.
Mm-hmm.
One of his shoes fell off.
There goes that new suit. What are they going to bury him in?
So his shoes down on the ground, his suit soiled. There ain't much left of this guy. And, you know, hanging is art, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this, but hanging is art because if you got to know a little bit of physics to get the rope right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't get the rope long enough, the man just, he dangles there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dangle there for an hour in the cloud, which is good for concessions.
Right.
You know, they sell more beer, more popcorn, whatnot. But, you know, most of the crowd like to see somebody die within 10 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make the rope too long, the body pick up too much speed on the way down. When it stops, it just pops the head right off.
If you make it really long, they just walk away.
They just walk on. Yeah. Make it really long. Well, if you make it really long, they break their legs when they hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it should be part of a hanging is... they should do it by progression.
Mm-hmm.
Like you should get a 20-foot hanging, or let's say a 30-foot hanging,
mm-hmm.
but a 35-foot rope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get
the door drops, you drop 30 feet, hit the ground, you're like, oh, some bitch, oh. Now you got to walk back up the gallows to the 20 feet. Mm-hmm. And then you get a 22-foot rope. And they drop you again, you're like, oh, son of a bitch, when are you going to make this rope shorter? You know, you're all mm-hmm. broken up and beaten into pieces. Then you get down to the 10-foot one, and you're like, oh, man, they're going to do this shit to me again. But then they only give you the 8-foot rope. Mm-hmm. And then that's when your head pops off.
Yeah.
That would be a good hanging.
It would be, Carl.
More entertaining than what they've been doing.
Yeah. Brandy.
Yes.
Do you have any final thoughts on Harry F. Powers, a.k.a.
Pigface.
Pigface.
I'd fuck him.
Okay.
You'd fuck him?
No.
Did she say I'd fuck him?
No, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. I heard thanks. I hear thanks.
Okay, if you like pig faces, that's up to you. Make no judgments.
Oh, yeah. Get out. Yeah.
A pig face, man. He's probably a good lover too. He probably gets
gross.
He's probably really good, like, you know.
Oh, you know,
really, gives really good oral and stuff.
He probably had to be.
What?
Yeah.
He probably had to be.
No, I have nothing to add.
You hear him like oink.
Mm-hmm. Oink. Yeah. He oinking the boinking. He bringing home the bacon to the babies.
I'm done listening. Mm-hmm. So, Colonel,
call me daddy.
Have anything to add?
No, other than I think I came up with a new method of hanging, the 30-foot, the 20-foot, and the 10-foot drop.
Yeah.
A three-stage hanging.
Brandy, where can people find us?
They can find us on the iTunes.
We're on the iTunes. Please leave us a review.
We are on the Stitcher.
We're on the Stitcher.
Libsyn.
Yeah.
And
the Facebook. We're on the Facebook.
We're on the Facebook. Come on.
We're on Facebook.
Give it to us, baby. Give it to us.
Twitter.
Yeah,
on Twitter, Facebook. Did she even say iTunes?
Yeah.
Did she even mention iTunes?
Yeah, the first one she mentioned. Oh. What's our handle on Twitter? By the way, did your Twitter get fixed? Because I know your Twitter was broke.
Your Twitter was broke.
Yeah.
You couldn't twat.
At Twitter, we're at History Beans.
Are you twatting again, devil?
First of all, I don't know what you're doing under the desk, but it's really distracting.
It's a nervous tick I got.
Yeah.
It's at History Dweebs 1. And Facebook, you can find us by looking up History Dweebs. Check us out on Libsyn, the iTunes. Look us up under History Dweebs. Leave us a review. That's how other people find us. Any final thoughts, Colonel, as we say goodbye?
No. If we do not see our listeners, I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
We got one more before
then. Oh, we got one more to do before then?
Yeah.
What, you going to work me to the bone? How am I going to deliver all these presents?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You didn't deliver them. Amazon did. That's it for
I got no final thoughts.
Podcast tonight. Again, thank you. And thank you again, seriously, Charlie, for sending us that email.
We will try to insult people properly.
Yes, because we are idiots. We'll say anything, but we do appreciate you sending the email to straighten us out on pansexuality.
That's kind of funny that you said straighten us out on pansexuality.
Is pansexuality a word? Look at it. Write that down.
It is. Write that down, devil. Google that for us.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Good day.
I said good day, sir.
I said good day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.